verse 3, John chapter 4, and in verse 43. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for us. I thank you, Father God, that no matter where we are, you are there. And Lord, in this, the end of this chapter, you are going to demonstrate that, Lord, that you don't need to be in a certain place, Lord, for a healing to happen. You don't need to be in a certain place, Lord, for a miracle to happen. You do not need to be in a certain place, Father, to touch someone. For Lord, you are able to touch anyone wherever they may be. And so, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that even in a distance, at a distance, Lord, you are able to not only hear us, but touch us. We thank you, Father God, for that. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Starting with the 43rd verse of chapter 4 of John, look with me there. Now after the 2 days, he departed there and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast. So after Jesus had spent 2 days with the Samaritans, he returned back to Galilee where he had lived as a child. The feast refers to the Passover, which we read about in John chapter 2, 13 through 25. The Galileans who had gone to the feast received Jesus when he had came to Galilee. Even though he was rejected in his own town of Nazareth, which is in Galilee, Jesus was accepted in other towns of Galilee. And because of the rejection that he had received in his own town, he warned his disciples, telling them that you have to be careful because you're not welcomed a lot of times in your own country or your own home. And that is so true. I mean, a lot of you experience that as Christians. You're not accepted. A lot of times we're not accepted because there's a change. I can remember someone said, you know, I used to like my brother because he used to party a lot, but now he doesn't party a lot anymore. He's always talking about Jesus. And so there's going to be a change in our lives. When we truly get Christ in our life, there's going to be a change. And so here, the people, they're looking at Jesus, especially the Nazarenes, when he was in Nazareth, they were looking at him like, hey, aren't you Joseph's son? They didn't see him for who he was. They didn't see him as a man of, as the Messiah. They saw him as that little boy. And you know, a lot of times when people look at our lives, they said, ah, you're just going through a fad. You'll be back to yourself later on. But you know what? Jesus was real. And we who accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, truly, when we do that, he is real in our lives. And when he's real in our lives, we are real in him. And that's when people begin to look at our lives and begin to realize that, hey, there is a difference. Because even Jesus said, a prophet is without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. And he was right. No matter where Jesus went, he was honored. But when he went back to his own place in Nazareth, he really didn't do that many miracles because people didn't believe. And you know what? And I'll tell you this. God cannot do much in your life without you opening up to him. A lot of times people, the reason God doesn't answer prayers is because we're not real with him, because he's truly not in our lives. He's just a word. He's just an idea. He's almost like a Santa Claus. We only go to him when we want something or we need something. But the Samaritans, like we had seen in the past, they accepted him for who he was. They gave him that honor and that glory. And look what happened when they opened up to Jesus. Jesus ministered to them for 2 days. What would happen to us if we continue to open up to Christ? He will minister to us. And see, a strong man or woman of God is a person who daily opens himself or herself up to God. When you open up to God, he is able to minister to your hearts. And when he ministers to your hearts, you will find yourself growing in Christ. And see, a lot of times we say, well, I've heard that before, but yet, the question is, are you doing it? It's like coming to church. Sometimes I've heard people, pastors ask, why do you come to church? Do you come to church because it's just a part of your routine? Or is it a part of your lifestyle? Is it a part of your DNA because you want to come, you want to worship God, you want to praise God, you want to glorify God? And so the thing is, Jesus didn't really care about what people thought about him because you know why? He knew who he was. He knew where he came from, and he knew what his duty was to do, what he was to do. And see, we as Christians, we should take on that same mindset. I know who I am in Christ. I know what my duty is to do. My duty is to serve God and to love people through God. And this is what we do, and this is how we grow. This is how we manifest to become more and more like Christ. And you know what? Every Sunday, people hear these things. They hear about the Holy Spirit. They hear about miracles. They hear about different things that should be going on in your lives or should not be going on in your life. And before you know it, you become numb to it. You don't even really hear it anymore. You know, sometimes we just come to church and it's just going in one ear and out the other ear. And we say amen because it's a habit. Amen. What did he say? I don't know. But amen. And so the thing is, it's like we have to ask ourselves, who am I? Why am I here? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And if you are doing what you're doing, you're not being accepted, but you are being touched by God, that's a good thing. That is a very good thing. So what we are to do is to be like Jesus, to go and minister to people and not really care about what people think about us. And what I mean by that, as long as we're serving him in love, we shouldn't care because people are not going to always like us. They didn't like Jesus. There were some who liked him. There were some who hated him. But yet, he continued to do. And it was the Samaritans whom the Jews hated and couldn't stand. And it was there Jesus had stayed with them for 2 days and ministered to them. In other places there in Galilee, some people treated him well, especially those who probably had been there at the feast in chapter 2. They probably were there. They probably saw him or heard about him changing the water into the wine. They probably heard about him. That was the guy that drove the people out of the temple. And now, here he is back in Galilee after his time in Samaria. In the 46th verse, it says, so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now, here in verse 46, John tells us in which part of Galilee he was in, which was Cana. It is said that the man was an officer to the king. He was probably wealthy, privileged, a man of influence, and who had a lot of authority. He was from Capernaum, which is about 6-hour walk from Cana. So here is this guy, he hears about Jesus and he goes to him because his son is sick. In the 47th verse, it says, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So we see he went down to see Jesus. Though he was in a high office, yet he did not refuse to personally go to see Jesus to ask for help. He could have sent someone to Jesus. He could have said, go tell Jesus I need him, because he was a man of authority. You know, there's times in our lives that, you know, like me being a pastor, you know, what pastor cleans restrooms? I clean restrooms. But there are pastors that says, I'm not going to clean any restrooms. Why? I'm a pastor. Pastors don't clean restrooms. But see, this guy, he needed something. He wanted something. He could have sent someone, but instead, he himself went. And he's asking, and he felt, you know, he went to Jesus as a father. And believing after all that Jesus had done, that he could cure his son, he traveled to meet Jesus. If a man received benefits of Christ, they must come in that same manner. You must put off that pride and that, you know, thinking that we're all that. And a lot of times we trip in our walk in Christ because of that, because we think so much of ourselves. We think so highly of ourselves. And this man, I'm sure he felt highly of himself, but now he had a need. His son was sick, and he was afraid that his son was going to die. So if a man receives benefits from Christ, you have to receive those benefits, you have to let go of all of your benefits. A lot of times, our walk in Christ is hindered because we're hanging on to our benefits. This is what I worked for. This is what I want. This is what I need. And I don't care about what anyone else needs. I have what I want. But this man came to the point in his life that all of a sudden, those things meant nothing to him because he had a need. And he heard about a man by the name of Jesus. So he realized that no matter if he's rich or poor or high or low, we all must come personally with a humble heart, and we must be willing to bear all the rebuke that may come before us. Because you know what? A lot of times people, when they see people all of a sudden begin to make a change because maybe something harsh is going on in their lives and they don't know what to do, and they begin to step away from that, and they go, oh, dude, you're weak. You run to Jesus. You probably wouldn't go to Jesus if you weren't going through this. And you know what? That may be true. But at the same time, that may be the very thing that God is using to get you to him. Sometimes God has to take us down to bring us up. Because a lot of times we're so up on ourselves until we think, you know, hey, there's nothing higher than me until we meet Jesus. Or until we meet a crisis. And this man had met a crisis. And he was willing to bear everything. He was ready. He was willing to give up everything. This man showed strong faith in being willing to go to Jesus. But he was wrong in thinking that Jesus needed to go with him. He was wrong in believing that, hey, I need you to go with me. Because he really didn't understand. He believed that Jesus could do it. But he felt that Jesus needed to be there to do it. And see, we're like that at times. If we don't hear the voice of God, or we don't hear him speaking to us, we think, oh, he isn't with us. I'll tell you what, I think I've been more blessed without all the glamour and the praying, you know, the laying on the hands. I've been more blessed in just trusting in the Lord. Just believing that he's able. And you know what? That, doing that, what it did, it strengthened me. And it caused me to realize that no matter how I feel, he is with me. No matter what I'm going through, he is with me. Even though I have never seen him, I have never touched him, I have never heard his voice, and yet I know he's in heaven, and yet he's here dwelling within me. He promised that he would be with us. He promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He promised that he would help us in a time of need. And this is something this man is beginning to find out. He's beginning to find out about this man called Jesus, that this man is peculiar. He's not no mere man. He's not a magician that just does tricks. But he's real. And see, and that's what we need to do. We need to be real in Christ. We need to become real believers, because I'll tell you what, it is the belief in Christ that causes us to move in faith. Whether something happens or not, a lot of times we get really sad when we pray for people and they're not healed. We begin to think that maybe God just don't hear me. He hears you. But this is something we have to realize. It is his will. I know what I would like to see God do. But it is his will that I have to be ready to receive. Lord, your will be done. I remember one time I was praying for someone, and she was dying. And I was saying, Lord, your will be done. And someone said, don't say that. Don't say, Lord, your will be done. He might take her. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. My God knows everything. He knows that I don't want him to take her. He knows that I want him to heal her. We don't have to lay it out for God. God already knows. What we have to do, we have to line up with his will. Your will be done. Jesus did it. He even, in the garden, he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But your will be done and not mine. He is our Lord and Savior, and he prayed that. And we must pray that also. I would love to be able to pray for people and to see them just healed like that. But you know what? It doesn't happen. I heard someone say one time, if people got healed every time someone prayed, it would no longer be a miracle. It would just be something that normally goes on. A miracle is something that doesn't always happen. And it doesn't. And a lot of times we can get really, really pushed out of shape when we feel that God is not answering our questions, our prayers, when we think he should. Look with me in verse 48. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. So it seems that as long as people get their get what they want, belief comes easily. But yet, when the truth is spoken to them, they respond differently. Their faith is not what they claimed it to be. Trials will weigh your faith, especially when there's no signs and there are no wonders. And see, and that's the thing that people are living on today. People are searching for signs and wonders. They're running over here. Hey, come over here. There's healing over here. Hey, come over here. There's like, what are they looking for? They're looking for signs and wonders. And Jesus is saying to this guy, hey, you guys, you won't believe unless you see, you know, you're looking for signs and wonders. And today, what that message says to us, don't look for signs and wonders. Look to Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to look to him. We're supposed to believe that he is able. And when he gives us the answer, we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. He has heard me. It's like Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So are you and I in that place where we could say that? Are we in the place that when we're begging God and we're pleading with God and God gives us that answer, are we willing to continue to say, I believe in you, Lord? Is our belief based on signs and miracles? Is it based on what God always does? Or is it just based on believing in Jesus Christ? And see, and that's what we have to be. This is where we're at. I have seen people fall out of grace because God didn't do the things that they thought he should have done. I've met few people that says, I'm mad at God because he let my daughter die. I'm mad at God because he let my husband die. I'm mad at God because my little baby had leukemia. And I prayed and nothing happened. And so it's like, what is it based on? What is your faith based on? Is it based on Christ or is it based on signs and miracles? Do you find yourself running here and running there? And I can remember, I was practically brought up in church from this high up. And I've stood in many miracle lines, many. But you know what? When you begin to read the word of God, it's not about the miracle. It's about Jesus Christ. The turning of the wine, the water into wine, it wasn't about the miracle. It was about the manifestation of God. That's what it was about. That was the thing to focus on. But a lot of people focus on, wow, he turned water into wine. No, wow, that was God being manifested. We saw God. We saw the one who created nothing into something. Here in the flesh, create water into wine. It is the Savior. It is the Messiah. It is Jesus that we are to look to and not anything else. If God does not do any other miracle in my life, I am still going to believe in him because my faith is not based on signs and wonders. It is based on what his son, Jesus Christ, has done on the cross, what he has done in Calvary. That is where my faith is. It is not signs and wonders. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 through 23, for Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. So when you are preaching the word of God, you are teaching the word of God, there are people that will not come to a church that do not pray for the sick. I'm not against praying for the sick. But my ministry isn't based on praying for the sick. My ministry is based on the word of God. Because I believe if you have the word of God, that is going to grow your faith. And that's going to give you the wisdom to know, your will be done, Lord. Not mine, but your will be done. When I found out I had cancer, that was spooky. I took it okay until I went to Stanford and the doctor said, you have the aggressive kind. That was different, you know? But I had to say, Lord, your will be done. And you know, my next prayer was, don't let me be afraid. I don't want to be afraid. When I was talking to Pastor Al, and I said, you know what I requested? I didn't say, pray for me that I will get healing. I asked them, pray for me that I will not fear. I want my trust to be in him. That's where my trust, that is my God. He lives. He is eternal. If I pass from this life, I will be with him. As long as I'm here, I'm not with him. But when I'm not here, I'm going to be with him. And see, that should be our focus. Not signs and wonders. And even Paul here, he even said in 1 Corinthians 1:22, for Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. There's a lot of times people, they're always seeking you. They could tell you the word of God. Oh, you know, the scripture says this and the scripture says that. And as soon as the trials come and hit them, all of a sudden their faith has broken. Why? Because it was based on signs and miracles. It was based on, because everything today is going well. What about tomorrow? What if tomorrow just fell out from underneath you? Will you still believe? When you're crying and it seems like your voice is hitting the ceiling and coming back down to you, are you still going to believe? And that's something that we have to ask ourselves. Lord, where am I with you? Am I where you want me to be? Am I going in the direction that you want me to go? Am I in love with you the way I say that I'm in love with you? Because I'll tell you what, if we're truly in love with God, then we are truly in love with each other. And I'll tell you what, I cannot stand before you without talking about love, because that is the basis of our faith. The love of God and the love for one another. And if we love one another, the world will know that we are of God. It's not about all my faith. Oh, I got faith. I got faith. I got faith. I got faith. Because you know what? When people see that and they see you fall apart, then they go, wow, God, either they don't have faith or God is not the God that they thought he was. So it's like Paul says in the 23rd verse, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. And what happens is that a church that does not do a lot of things that some church is doing, and I'm not against it, but what I'm saying is sometimes people will not go to that church because those particular things don't go on. And here, Paul says, it's a stumbling block. A lot of times people are not able to receive the word because they don't see signs and miracles going on. They hear about them. So Jesus rebukes those who depend on signs and wonders before they will believe on him. It might seem that Jesus was even kind of tough with this guy, but he wasn't. He was bringing this guy closer to him by allowing him to know exactly who he was. He wanted this man to realize that you came to the right person. See, this man, number one, his first belief started out with, I got to go to that man. I heard that he can do something. He didn't really understand, but he knew that he could do something. He believed. But as we go on further, we're going to find out that that belief is going to drop from stage one to stage two, to the point where he believes not only that he can do a miracle, but he believes that he is the Messiah. And see, and that's the difference. There's a lot of people who believe in God. There's a lot of people that believe that Jesus died on the cross. There are a lot of people believe that he rose again and he went to heaven, but they don't believe to the point of salvation. They don't believe to the point to allow him to make a change and a difference in their lives. Someone wrote that signs and wonders can lead a person towards belief in God and can validate a heavenly messenger, but they can also have no effect on a person. And Satan can also use lying signs and wonders. In 2 Thessalonians 2:9-10, it says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. The love of the truth that they might be saved. It's not the miracles that save people. It's the truth. The word of God, that's what saves people. That's what makes change. Because you know what? Not everyone that has a miracle done in their life turned their lives to Christ. But every man and woman that the word of God's heart touches, that person is changed. Their life is changed. And commenting further on this same subject, someone said that signs and wonders from God are obviously good things, but they should not form the foundation of our faith. We should not depend on them to prove God to us. In themselves, signs and wonders cannot change the heart. Israel saw incredible signs at Mount Sinai and even heard the very voice of God. But think about it. Did it change them? Did they change? Even after walking through all that water and they got on the other side, what was one of the first things they started to do? They started to complain. Complain. So even that, it shows you. Even during the times when Jesus was doing miracles, even after the time he had raised Lazarus from the dead, what did they say? Let us kill Lazarus and Jesus. They wanted to kill him again. See, the truth, if the truth isn't in our hearts, then we're not right. The truth must be there. Coming to church is a good thing. But you know what? If coming to church and your heart isn't changed, it's not you coming to church that's going to change you. It's God, it's his word that's going to change you. And that's what Jesus is letting this guy know here, is that, you know what? You need signs. You people need signs. But let me tell you something. I'm still going to do this for you. And it's really neat. Here, he tells him in the 49th verse, the nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Here was a man of who had a lot of authority and wealth, and who probably was used to having things going his way. But now this man, who was a royal officer, who had all this authority, is now pleading with Jesus, "Please come." Even after Jesus said, "Oh, you guys, you're just looking for signs." And he said, "Please come." Because now he was no longer that high royal of authority. He didn't come to Jesus that way. He didn't come to Jesus with the power of that type of power. He came to Jesus as a father who loved his son. He brought himself down. It would be like a king taking off his royal crown and his royal robe, and he's just bowing before God. And you know what? That's what we need to do at times. We need to pull ourselves off and put him on. Because you know what? We've been wearing ourselves too long. It's time to put on the king. It's time to put him into our lives. It's about time for us to start to have a change going in our lives. Think about this. When you really think about your life, as far as where you're at today in your Christian life, would you say that you have grown closer to God? Would you say that your faith in him has grown stronger to the point that people are even making comments about it? Not you making comments about it. See, and that's the problem. Oh, I have faith. Oh, I have the ability to, I can lay hands on the sick, and oh, I could prophesy, and oh, I could this, and all, you know, a lot of people, it's I. But what we need to do is get to Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. The only time it's about me and it's about you, it's about us getting to Jesus. That's the only time it matters. So where are you? Where are you in your faith? What motivates you? What causes you to pray? What causes you to worship? Are you praying and worshiping only because things are going well? Are you praying and worshiping because everything is going bad? It can work either way. So my prayer is this, is that we worship and praise him no matter what situation is going on in our lives. That's when we know that we're growing in God. And you know what the huge sign is? When I am showing love for my brother and sisters in Christ, that is big time. That is bigger than anything that can happen besides salvation. So he was looking for him, not knowing that Jesus did not need to go. He believed in Jesus, but he wanted Jesus to go with him. But he did not understand or know that Jesus didn't need to go with him. In this verse, this man is saying to Jesus, "Sir, please come. Before my son died," he was pleading with him. Someone said, "Sometimes Jesus has to bring us low so we will come to him." And this is kind of deep when you really think about it. Sometimes Jesus will just step back and just say, "Come on, take a step." Because you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to take a step out of ourselves and into his arms. And that's what he wants. I really truly believe that's where the Holy Spirit is trying to lead people today. But the reason we can't hear him because we're still looking for miracles. We're still looking for signs. We're still looking for that right church that plays the right kind of music and says the right type of prayer and kind of makes me feel bubbly on the inside. But I thank God my faith is not based on my feelings. My faith is based on what I know that is true, and that is Jesus Christ is Lord over my life and every part of my life. Read with me in verse 50. Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. Now, when Jesus told this man to go your way, your son lives, what he was telling the man was to continue on with what you were doing. So he believed what Jesus said and continued on with his business. He didn't go home right away. You see, he believed that when Jesus said it, he believed it. Why? Because he believed what Jesus told him. He believed it. He believed. And he didn't go, oh, let me take off right now. You know, he didn't say, do it. Jesus said, be about your business. It's done. It's like, what? It's done. So this guy, he continues to do his business there in Cana. He didn't take off right away because he believed that was step one. Verse 51, and as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The seventh hour is 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So the father knew that it was at the time, at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed in his household and his household and his whole household. That was step two. Now he believes. Not only, first he was like, I got to go to this guy. I know he's able to do it. And Jesus did it. And then two, he believes now that he is no mere man, but he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah. You know what? When I came to Christ, I didn't understand everything. But I did understand this, that I needed a Savior. After hearing the word being preached, after you know, even being raised in church, it was like going in one ear and out. But one day, I heard it. I really heard it. And it touched me. I mean, when I think about all the times that I was in church, I can't believe it was until about the time I was 15 years old that I really heard it. And then it took me until about 20 years old, I started to live it. I started to live. And so the thing is, it's a process. But what God wants us to do is to continue to seek him. Never stop seeking God. Stop seeking God is like stopping your heart from beating. You will die. Seek him daily. Seek him every day. So he believed. So this is what this man found about Jesus, that he is the Messiah. The nobleman is said to have believed twice, like I told you. So the miracle that was performed had happened, that this child that was healed, that was the second miracle that Jesus had done there. When the Jewish nobleman realized that his son had been healed, he knew that Jesus was more than a mere mortal. The nobleman placed his faith totally in Jesus, and he was born again. And see, what was it that Jesus told Nicodemus, a religious man? You must be born again. And there may be some of you in here that are religious, but you need to be born again. And that's something that we must always remember, that is not the signs and the miracles. In the 54th verse, this again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. And so what type of miracle are you looking for? Me, if I want to say that I'm talking about, I want a miracle from God, I want to be changed more and more inwardly. Change me, Lord. Make me more and more like you. Because there's some stuff still in me I don't like. There's some stuff in me I do like, but I shouldn't want. And I have to go to God for it. And see, a lot of us, and I know I'm not standing here alone with this. I know a lot of you have things in your lives. There are some things you want to get rid of, and there's some things that you know you need to get rid of, but you're hanging on to. But the Word of God says, let go. Give it to me. Jesus can heal. Jesus healed this kid. He was 6 hours away from the walking distance from him. He was able to touch him. It was a distance healing. And that's what I'm saying, that no matter where you are at today, God can touch your lives. If you're praying for someone in another town, Jesus can touch him, just like he did that little boy. He can touch you right here, and he can touch you at a distance. He can touch you. If you lived on the moon, he can touch you. It doesn't matter where you're at. He hears you, and he can touch your life. And I'll tell you what, I know that there are some of you that needs a special touch in your life from the Father. Let us pray. Father God, I just so thank you, Lord, that God, that you are so in love with us, that you care so much about us, that you gave your son Jesus. You are the God that can heal at a distance, Lord. No one is too far away from you, Lord, to the point you cannot hear them or you cannot touch them. Father God, I just know right now as I'm praying that there are people that are sitting here in this building today that needs a special touch from you. And I ask you, Lord, to touch them, Lord. There are those, Lord, that need a spiritual healing, that are spiritually sick, that are spiritually downed or depressed. Lord, I just pray right now that you begin to minister to their hearts and their minds as we set still before you now. Lord, make a difference in our lives. May we decrease that you may increase, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord, that you love us. We're so thankful, Lord, that you are able to touch us and lift us up. And Lord, even if you decide that we have to go through this, may we be able to go through it knowing that you are with us, Lord, knowing that you are bearing with us this burden, and that knowing, Lord, that it cannot destroy us if we would just continue to trust in you. I thank you, Father, for what you're about to do in every life here today as they begin to yield more to you. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.